All right, we've got a lot coming up. Hey, Bridge Bank, as I said yesterday, they've helped me with so many different things in business. Sheetal Cordova and Fred Voss and Jesse Garcia, Mike Letterman and Esperanza Kay, Elon Mauricio Grant and everybody else, Rebecca, over there at Bridge Bank in Oakland. And thank you so much, guys. Fans, if you want a real banking experience and a good one, Bridge Bank, check them out. Member of the FDIC and, of course, the Western Alliance Bank family. Now we're going to bring in a good friend of ours. Formerly did the TV work for the Miami Marlins and Seattle Mariner pregame show and has been on MLB TV and all sorts of things. And really a good baseball man, and I always enjoy our Sunday morning chats with him. And that is our good friend Rich Waltz. Rich, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Marty. It is a good morning. It's the first morning in about a week where you, at least for me, you wake up and you turn on your phone and you look quickly at social media or the wires or whatever you want to call it, and there's no new cases, no new teams affected. So let's keep your fingers crossed that holds for a while at least.
Yeah, look, you spent a lot of time in Miami, and obviously the Marlins, a team that's been hit the hardest. Well, what's your take on that, and where does it go for the Marlins?
Well, we'll start with the last question first. This affects everybody, right, in the National League, because suddenly the Marlins have to add 18 players, and they're not going to promote their top prospects. They don't want to start the clock on some of these guys. So they're literally signing guys that are loose, that are free agents, bringing up some stopgap guys from AAA, and, you know, going to have a go at it. The good news for them is that the players that were infected have been quarantined, and there are no, it doesn't sound like, any serious symptoms. And that the rest of the team that's been quarantined as well has had no positive tests. So they're going to resume playing early next week, which is great news. But, you know, remember the format here. I mean, that's the most important news. How it affects the rest of the National League. Remember the playoff format this year. What is it? Three division winners, three second place, get in, and then the two essentially wild cards. So all of a sudden the teams in the East are going to be playing, and then it affects obviously the American League because you're playing interleague as well. They're going to be playing this Miami team that, you know, was actually off to a decent start and had some good young players. They're going to be facing somewhat of a ragtag bunch here for the next, you would think, 2 to 3 weeks at least. Especially a team that's been shut down for 7 to 10 days, that could have trickle-down effect in terms of teams trying to get to the postseason through that back door of the two wild cards, the two best records left over in the leagues.
Boy, good point. Rich Waltz with us on this Sunday morning. Just watching a little bit of MLB TV. I guess Joey Votto, Chris Bryant had some symptoms, so we'll see where that goes. But well, look, we had Eric Nadell on yesterday. His engineer and radio partner tested positive, and now Eric's in quarantine as well. How about that?
Yeah, look, it's and it's everywhere. It's not just baseball. Obviously, it's the entire world, the entire country, every industry is affected by this. And baseball's given, you know, taking their best shot at getting it done. And this, you're going to have situations like this. You just hope that none of the illnesses that result in this result in, you know, the worst case scenario.
You grew up in the Bay Area. It's 30 years of Kruk and Kipe, and I know that you respect them and you've listened to them for years, and as I have as well. Maybe some of your thoughts on Kruk and Kipe.
Well, look, first of all, they're the gold standard in the game, not only with their fans in the Bay Area, but also other broadcasters. You know, when I've started doing games in Seattle and with ESPN and then moved down to Miami and started doing games with the Marlins. That was a show that I always would watch because of just the incredible chemistry and the vibe that they have. And that, look, that show itself, the Giants telecast, is it goes deeper than Crook and Kipe. I mean, Jeff and Jim in the truck, Amy G. It always interests me, having grown up there and having watched a lot of their games from afar. That show, I've always felt, captures the vibe of the Bay Area. It captures what the Bay Area and especially Giants fans are about. But then the more I thought about it, it's like, well, it almost feels that at some point with Crook and Kipe, who've been there for 30 years, maybe the show sets the vibe for Giant fans and the rest of the Bay Area. I had a chance a couple years ago, two things. I got to work with Crook on some games for MLB Network, and then I got to fill in for the Giants for some games. And one of the things that I did was I hung out around the booth and around the team for about 5 days before my games, just to come up to speed with what's going on with the teams. And I wanted to see a little bit of insight of how they worked, and what I suspected was true. They are incredible teammates. And what I mean by that is sports on television is a team sport, which means you are working with 30 to 40 highly skilled men and women in the truck, on cameras, in the booth, and all of that. And just that time spent observing them, you grow to find pretty quickly that they're genuinely invested in making sure that everybody on that telecast succeeds, from the very top of the production truck to the statisticians, to the people in the booth, to the women and the men that are working in the tape room and the audio room and all of that. Those guys are such great teammates to everybody around them. And that's not always the case in whatever sport in television booths. But those guys are incredible teammates. And I was a college baseball player in the 80s, and I remember when Kipe was doing like a 5-minute radio show on KMVR, and Crook also joined in on that. And that was one of the things that got me to thinking that, you know, I went to UC Davis, which is not a broadcasting school, even though Amy G is an Aggie as well. But I heard those guys, and it was like, well, if they could do it, and they have so much fun doing it, I mean, just because I didn't go to a broadcasting school doesn't mean I can't do it. And that kind of helped push me towards doing that. And they're, look, Giant fans, and I don't have to tell you that anybody down there that are just extremely blessed to have Crook and Kipe, but also the Hall of Famer John Miller and Dave Fleming is as talented a broadcaster as there is in the industry right now. And obviously, Amy G's great, too. So those are thoughts.
Great insight. No, it's a great insight into the teammates. And you're right. In this business, you got to work with a lot of people. Not everyone on the top is great to those folks who make it happen. So good insight from Rich Waltz on Crook and Kipe. All right, I'll tell you this. You know, you spent a lot of time in Miami. You know, you're my family's favorite broadcaster, you and Tommy Hutton. They loved you down there. You got to see Donovan Solano as a Miami Marlin. This guy is off the charts now. He's on a pace for 234 hits or whatever. Where has he been? What happened?
He's he's an incredible story. He's Colombian. Was a struggle to get scouted. He and his brother Jonathan, had to really, work to get into minor league baseball. He was in the Cardinals organization for 7 years, and I really think that helped him because the Cardinals minor league organization at that point, and probably still now, is really great in terms of player development. But he was stuck behind a lot of great infielders, Matt Carpenter, Daniel Descalso, Pete Cosma. The Cardinals had a ton of versatile middle infielders, Schumacher, guys that they could plug in and out. And so he never got a shot there. He never got a chance. And Miami signed him, I want to say, in 2012. And he quickly became one of the favorites of Perry Hill. Perry Hill, Bay Area fans may not know the name. the two best infield instructors, coaches in all of baseball are Ron Washington and Perry Hill. Perry was in Miami for a long time. He's now the Mariners infield coach. He's got a slew of gold glove guys. And Donovan Solano was the guy that Perry Hill wanted in the game at the end of games, and he wanted the ball hit to him because he said he was the best defender on the field at that time. So dependable. And he always seemed to, and his, I love his nickname, because he always did seem to barrel balls up. He always gave you a really solid at-bat, but was never really spectacular. So to see the success that he's having is just, for me, it makes me smile because I know how hard he's worked. I know how good he is. He's not, and sometimes in baseball, you look at someone and say, well, he can't do this and he can't do that. And you overlook the fact that, you know, this guy reeks of fundamentals. He's worked so hard. And the other thing is this, and I think this goes with Yastrzemski as well. A lot of people dismiss those two simply as, well, it isn't going to last. Look how old they are. You know, with Yastrzemski, and it just turns my stomach when I hear people nationally say, well, really on a good team, he's a fourth outfielder. I think that's BS. I think, especially in this day and age of instruction, you know, and whether the labs like Driveline or the LA hitting guys, Van Skoik and those guys, there is no better time for a baseball player to improve themselves and turn their career around. And look, the game's littered with guys like that. I mean, the people that dismiss Yastrzemski are the same people that probably thought Justin Turner was just a banjo hitter and a fifth infielder 4 or 5 years ago when the Mets released him, right? Or that Max Muncy would never never be anything. Or, I mean, Giants, if you want a Giants parallel, remember, obviously, Ryan Vogelsong, right? I mean, look at all the time he spent in the minor leagues and overseas and all of that. And look what he turned into. You go across the bay, I think Mark Canna's a guy like that, too, who never really got a shot in Miami. He was blocked by Stanton and Morrison and finally got a chance with the A's, and he's turned into a nice piece over there. So don't dismiss those two guys. And Solano is a favorite of mine. So the fact that he's having a lot of success, I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, beautiful. Hey, great to talk ball with you. We'll have you on next week or two and get your take on the AL and NL Western divisions and see where we are in baseball. But always a good insight, Rich. So thank you so much.
Marty, hang in there. Good luck. Stay healthy. Good luck to the Giants and to the A's. I'll be watching, and I look forward to visiting with you again.
Absolutely. Look forward to having you on in a couple of weeks. Rich, thank you. Good day. All right, that is Rich Waltz. Boy, that was a good report. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5. Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, next, right here on the Sports Leader.